the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about, his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. Here's what I want to talk about today: how to tackling a tough task. Tackling a tough task. Have you lived long enough to discover that God doesn't ask your permission to call you to a tough task? I'll say it one more time. Have you lived long enough to discover that God does not come and ask you for your permission to call you to a tough task? God, in his own sovereign will, and because he is God, and Grandmama used to say, and God all by yourself, he's already decided what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and when he wants to do it. He's even decided who he wants to do it through. The question is that you and I often think that we are the captains of our own fate. It's poetically cute, but it's a lie. The God we serve is in control. Matter of fact, if you read the scripture, you'll discover that we really believe that he bought us, redeemed us, so we are not our own. The word says we were bought with a price. And the God we serve that paid the price so that you and I could become children of God has a right to call us anytime, anywhere, to anything. The narrative that I'm preaching from today, you'll also see a portion of it in Luke chapter 1. You've got two teenage people who are really striving to do what the Lord has called them to do and be. There is a book that I'm reading now. It's a book by a gentleman by the name of Rabbi Daniel Lapin. And Daniel Lapin is a Jew, and he wrote a book, Thou Shalt Prosper. And in this book, Thou Shalt Prosper, he reflects back and he talks about the Jewish culture. And he says that the Jewish culture, they live by the Torah. And in the Torah, there are five things that every Jewish family has a responsibility to do for their children. He says the five things that every Jewish parent is expected to do for their children: the first thing they're expected to do, they're expected to formally induct them into their social and religious group, to share with them about their faith. And they do this because it's extremely important that they never feel disconnected. Here's what it really boils down to. It's important for every Jewish parent to teach their children who they are. That's why you hear individuals saying, the son of, We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because that's all connected to who we are. It's their responsibility to teach and induct their children, to teach them about their social and religious society, to express to them the importance of who they are, especially as it relates to faith. The second thing that they're called to teach them, they got to teach them exactly what is expected of them. They sit them down and say, as my child, here's what is expected of you. That's why you see the brother stand and says, now, I don't know about somebody else's house, but as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. And the leader of that house, the parents of that house, lays down responsibility and rules. Some of us have grown up in the places where we got a little bit exposure, and before we knew any better, we would always try to make our case a little better by telling our parents what happened down at Johnny's house. And you know what happened when you said what happened down at Johnny's house. And they would say to us, well, I'm not Johnny's parents. And as far as you are concerned, when you're driving my car, living in my house, you will be home at this time, because there is a responsibility for every parent to tell every child exactly what is expected of them. The third thing that they're called to teach their children, they're supposed to teach them an occupation. They're supposed to teach them a trade, so that they will be useful and productive in society, and so that they can make a living for themselves. They teach them that you're not here to live off somebody. You are here to solve problems. You are here to work. 6 days shall thy work. You are here to get a job. You're here to carry your own weight. And should you bring about any other responsibilities, it's your responsibility to take care of all your responsibilities, including mom and them. Put an amen there if you can. In other words, you gotta teach them how to work, how to be productive, and how to earn a living for themselves. Here's the fourth one. The Torah says you are to assist them to marriage. You are to assist them to marriage. Now, not everybody is going to be married, but most people should be. You'll know whether or not God intends for you to be married based on one thing. Do you get thirsty? And if you get thirsty and you really want to quench your thirst, then God intends for you to get your own fountain and drink from your own fountain. Say amen, Pastor. Amen. I'm trying to keep this G up in here as long as I can. You are to assist them. It goes something like this. I'm trying to, don't let me get ahead of myself. And here's the last one. What else? Teach them who they are. Teach them their faith. Teach them what's expected of them. Teach them how to earn a living, be productive so they can care for themselves, assist them in marriage. Here's the last one. The last one is every Jew. In the Torah, you're called to teach your child how to swim. Got to teach your child how to swim. Because there may be times where they are in a situation where they're over their head, and they're going to need to know how to survive when they get in water over their head. You want them to be able to survive turbulent times, because you're not always going to be walking in shallow water. And Joseph and Mary were raised that way. I know they were raised that way because in the text it makes reference to the fact that Joseph knows the law. I know they were raised that way because they're pledged to be married. See, when you look at the text, here's what you see in the text. You see two people who've been raised to honor the law and the word, the known word of God. And they are pledged to be married. And the way the Jews did it, there's no word in the Bible that translates to boyfriend. Girlfriend ain't in the Bible. Their sister, brother, mother, father, husband, wife. I love the Bible. Ain't no girlfriend in there. Ain't no boyfriend in there. Collectively, if a boy sees somebody he's interested in, he tells his daddy, and his daddy helps him to get connected with her. Daddy, there's somebody I'm interested in. And then the father decides if this should go any further. Y'all look at me like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm trying to help you. The father decides, and then the father goes to that parent and is an advocate on behalf of their son to say to the parent, my son is interested in your child. Now, the first thing the other parent ought to know is, well, have you taught him or her about who they are? Have you taught them about the faith? Have you taught them what's expected of them? Have you taught them how to earn a living? Are they really marriageable material? Because it's the father that stands in the gap for his son so that his son can get a bride. Because the son can't do it on his own. It's always better when you got a father speaking on your behalf. Say amen, Derek, right there. And then the fathers decide if this should move further. And if it moves further, there's basically, they get a chance to meet each other. They probably already know each other, but they get a chance to visit, to court per se. And then there is a decision that this should move forward. And from that point, there is a pledge made where they are pledged to be married. And at that point, even though they're not living together, ain't no sleepovers, ain't none of that kind of stuff, there is a preparation for marriage. And the son continues to prepare to provide a home and everything that is needed for his bride. But when you talk about them, they are legally married. That's why when you look at the text, it says they're pledged to be married. And even though they haven't come together, they haven't had their wedding date yet, it was because it was a legal promise. It could only be dissolved by an issue of divorce. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but I'm trying to help y'all. So I know this is new material for some of y'all, and it's over your head, but it needs to be in your heart because it'll help you if you live it. So these two are living that way. And then God. And then God steps in and calls them to a tough task. Yeah. You see the narrative in Luke chapter 1 with Mary. You see more detail in Matthew chapter 1 with Joseph. But God calls them to an extremely tough task. Because what he's calling them to do from the eyes of parents and the public is going to look like they have misbehaved. It's a no-win situation. But yet God calls them to a tough task. Now, the title of my text is, I'm going to want to walk you through this text because what I'm trying to teach you from this lesson is how do you get through a tough task. And here it is. I don't want to keep you too long. Don't want you to miss this. Here's the first one. The first step, if you're going to get through a tough task, it's important for you to be transparent. I'm going to answer. I see your question. To be transparent. Transparent means that ain't nothing wrong admitting that you feel that this is a tough task. Folk who think they know it all you think you, and some of y'all ain't been nowhere. Ain't done. Sister Huff, I listened to myself preach one time, and sometimes I say so many ain't done and all of that, but it's just too late for me to change. Ain't done nothing. Ain't been nowhere, don't know nothing, don't have a foundation, but yet you think you know. Here's the truth. The truth is sometimes God will call us to some tough tasks. And the first thing you need to do if you're going to get through this thing to the other side, it's important for you to admit that God, this is tough. What you're asking me to do, ain't nothing wrong with admitting that you got a tough situation on your hands. You read the text and ask me if you done checked off all of this stuff and you done let her pick out the paint, she done picked out the carpet, and you 3 months from the wedding date, and now all of a sudden you discover it's a tough task. I know it's a tough task because in the Luke narrative, in Luke 1:29, here's what Mary said when God was calling her. Mary said, the text says, she was greatly troubled. Greatly troubled. I mean, she's saying, what you asking me to do, this is going to be a mess. This is going to blow up in my face because you know Joseph got some sisters them ain't never like me, no way. And you know he wanted to, but I wouldn't. The text says she was greatly troubled. Matthew's text, Matthew 1:19, Joseph is struggling with it. Because on one hand, he knows what he can do. But he also knows what he wants to do. See, he knows the law. Hey, Ron, he can throw her under the bus. The law says he can do it. He can put her on Jerry Springer. That's what he can do. He can put her on Judge Judy. He can put her on blast and humiliate her because of the humiliation that she's bringing to him and his family. That's what he can do. But when you've got somebody who's got God in their heart, what you can do ain't always what you will do. He could humiliate her, but he decides, no, I'm not going to disgrace her. But I can't stay with her. I'll divorce her quietly. It's tough. Can't stay with her, but I'll put her away quietly and do the best I can to move on. That's his decision. Because in essence, they've reached an impasse. See, the problem is neither one of them fully understands everything that's going on, but Mary has concluded, I love you, but if I ever have a choice between you and God, I'm gonna do God. I know you're fine. You got my name tatted. But if, I'm sorry, I didn't know. But if I ever have to choose between you or God, know for a fact, I'm do God. And oh, I just believe that some lives would be better if folk would decide to put God over some stupid relationship. I mean, why is it? I'm still trying to explain how all the big boys get to keep their clothes on, while the girls are constantly taking theirs off. Explain that to me in the videos. Don't act like you ain't seen them. Why is it that you got grown women with kids walking around in onesies? Don't make sense to me. But the message is, you gotta be. God never intended for women to be a drive-through, where somebody just drive through and for a little bit of attention get two thighs, two legs, a couple of breasts. That's not what he intended. And she had made up her mind, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to do God. Ain't nothing wrong with admitting this is a tough task. Can I go to the second point? Be teachable. Be teachable. Be teachable. Be teachable. Be teachable. Let me give you a hint. If God is calling you to a real tough task, he's been known to give an explanation if you give him a chance. Be teachable, because God will explain it, allow God to explain it, should he choose to. The problem with shutting God off too soon is because he may explain to you why he's doing what he's doing. He don't have to, but sometimes he chooses to. Let me tell the truth. He don't always explain up front while he's calling you to do what you do. He doesn't always tell you up front why he allowed your heart to be broken the way it has. He doesn't always tell you up front why you ended up being hurt from collateral damage of decisions based on some grown folk that you had nothing to do with. I prove it. Joseph was 17 when they threw him in the pit. He was a grown man with a family at the end of Genesis when God finally, when the picture became clear. It wasn't until after he had been through the pit, he'd been through the prison, the lies of Miss P, he'd been through all of that, and then down at the end, he finally testifies, oh, now I see. What y'all did when you threw me in the pit, you meant it for evil. But now I see God meant it for good. Because if y'all hadn't thrown me into the pit, I would have never got to Egypt. I would have never got to Potiphar, would have never got thrown in the prison, would have never interpreted the dream, would have never ended up working for Pharaoh, would never ended up being a big baller and shot caller, but it happened because of what you did to me. Be teachable. He don't always tell you, but JJ, sometime he does. Watch the text. Watch the text. Watch the text. The text says in the Luke text, the angel went on to tell Mary, this child you're going to have, he'll be called the Son of the Most High God. In the Matthew text, the angel tells Joseph, all of this is being done to fulfill what was written and preached by the prophets. Joseph, you had this in Sunday school. Don't you remember going through Isaiah? Go get your notes. In Isaiah 7:14, it said, a virgin shall conceive. All of this is a part of the plan. I'm trying to tell you, God just don't do something because he's bored. He ain't just waking up, jerking and jacking people around for nothing. God has purpose in everything he does. And when God calls you to a tough task, be transparent. Ain't nothing wrong with saying, God, this is tough. God, I don't understand. But be quiet sometime and have a teachable spirit, because God can explain to you why he's doing what he's doing. And if you still don't get it, you got to learn how to trust him even when you can't figure out what he's up to. And when the angel reveals that, Mary, you're an instrument, that's going to change the world. She finally concluded, Lord, I'm your handmaid. In other words, I'm your maid, I'm your servant. Do with me whatever you want to do. When Joseph finally understood and got the whole picture, the text says that he jumped up, he woke up and went and got married that night. Watch this. He went and got his wife, because the angel said, don't be afraid to take her, to take your wife, because what's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He went on, gave further explanation. He shall be called Emmanuel. She's going to have a son. Ain't nobody had a sonogram. Ain't nobody put no needle over the stomach. Ain't nobody measured to see if she hanging low. But he's going to be a son. You'll catch that in a minute. And you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then he woke up, got up and went to Mary's house. Watch the text. Watch it. I believe he was sleeping at night. I know he was sleeping at night, because Jews work during the day. Hello? Jews worked during the day. He sleep at night. And he gets up at night. He doesn't wait till breakfast. He doesn't wait till it's a new dawn. He doesn't wait till the sun rises. He goes to get her at night. How do you handle a tough task? I told you. Got to be transparent. Admit this is tough, but God, I'm going to be teachable. I'm going to let you teach me something so that I can get through it. Ready for the last one? Here it is. Then you got to learn to be tough and tender. You got to be tough and tender. Every child of God, you got to learn the balance, the secret of when to be tough and when to be tender. Homeboy, listen, brother man, you got to learn there's a time to be tough. There's a time to be tender. Sweetheart, beloved sister, you got to know when to be tough. But sweetheart, you also got to know when to be tender. Pastor, where are you getting all of this in this text? I already told you, between verse 18 and 19, there's an impasse. The text says it was found out that she was with child, she was pregnant. And then when you look at verse number 18, before they came together, she was found out to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. Between 18 and 19, there was a conversation. Mary, being the girl that she is, she's not going to let Joseph find out this through the grapevine. She ain't going to do that. She ain't going to let Joseph find out something like this through Facebook. This is something so important. She ain't telling nobody else until she talks to Joseph. This is a woman who fears God. And when you fear God, you do the right thing the right way. She ain't talking to no sister. She ain't talking to no mama, because this is something between her and God. And she talks to Joseph. And he can't handle it. God told Abraham that I'm going to make your children like the sand on the seashore. Then another time, JJ, scoot over, because I need to see your eyes. Another time he said, I'm going to make them like the stars in the sky. The Jews were taught that sometimes they were referred to as sand. Sometimes they were referred to as stars. On one hand, a grain of sand, what's that? Ain't much. But in concert with other grains of sand, you can build stuff. When you take a whole bunch of sand, put it in bags, you can keep floodwaters out. You can take sand, put it with a little cement, and you got mortar that will hold bricks together that'll build a great structure. When sand works with other sand in concert, sometimes you gotta be sand. But then sometimes you can't be sand. Sometimes you gotta be a star.
And the difference between the sand and the star is the sand can't do much unless it's connected to somebody else. But a star will shine all by itself. Watch the conversation. Joseph, I would love to operate in concert with you like sand. When we come together, we can do great things for God. But if you don't want to do what God wants us to do, I can be a star all by myself. And you got to know the word of God, because you sometimes we're sand. But if you don't want to do what God wants me to do, that's all right, because I can be a star all by myself. How do I know that? Because you didn't call me. My glory doesn't come from being connected to you. My glory comes from being connected. Twinkle. Twinkle. Some of y'all don't know when to be sand and when to be a star. I don't know a whole lot about astronomy, but I do know this. Stars hang in high places. I'm killing myself up in here. Now, Harrison, he got to go and knock on Mary's door. She's still living at home with her mama and daddy. I don't know if it was 11 o'clock. Jesse, I don't know if it was 2. But he had the courage to knock on the door. I don't know what her daddy said. I don't know what her mama said. I don't know if the sister came around working her neck. But I do know he knocked on the door. Mandy, you know what I love about this? One of the things I learned about this whole narrative is that when God calls you to a tough task, he'll give you covering. When God calls you to a tough task, he'll give you clarity. And when God calls you to a tough task, he'll give you courage to just do what you got to do and face what you got to face. Now, getting to mama, getting past her mama and dad is one thing, but what do you think the first conversation was like with Mary? Oh, change your mind. That's why I'm telling you, you got to know when to be you got to know when to be tough, and you got to know when to be tender. Get you a good glass of water, Gatorade if you need it, and swallow the pride. I'm sorry, baby, I didn't know. I told you. Didn't I tell you the angel said? Yes, dear. Well, why you put me through all? Yes, dear. Mom and them been talking about me, and the way your sister rolled her eyes at me, she lucky ain't had no Vaseline. Yes, dear. And fellas, sometimes when you've made the bad decision, you just got to take some stuff. Shut your mouth until they give you the signal. Yes, dear. And usually the best answer is, yes, dear, I'm sorry, you were right. Now, I don't know about yours, but mine, my sweetheart likes to hit rewind. We'll get through the whole thing. Yes, ma'am, you were right. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am, you were right. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am, you were right. I'm sorry. And then she hits rewind. It's almost as if to say, now I'm going to make sure you got this. Now, if this ever happened. Be smart. Be smart. Be smart. You got to know when to be tough and when to be tender. Here's what you see when you read their story. God consistently shows up to give Joseph everything he needs to get to the other side. Gave him courage to go get his wife. Gave him courage. I know the baby's due any day, but we got to pay our taxes. Gave him strength. Honey couldn't find no hotel room, but there is, but we can't get out of the weather. Went from the stable. By the time the wise men show up, they in a house. Went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Every time he needed something, God provided what he needed to get to the other side. Because this baby right here, his whole life is wrapped up in helping us get to the other side. My knees used to bother me, and Trudy, every time we go somewhere, she'd say, "You bring your swim trunks?" She only wants to stay in hotels that have an indoor pool. And I don't do it much lately because I'm trying to find some company that makes a one piece for men. I've gone some time. I try to wait till I think ain't nobody gonna be there at all. The Nazarites everywhere. And I, but swimming was a she's real slow, but she loves that as an exercise. And she said, "You ought to swim." And I said, "It's a good workout." I said, "Well, okay, I'll try it." And I decided that if I was gonna get being something over my head, I'm going to give myself the best chance I got to make it as easy as possible. These boogers right here. Now, I can take the same amount of energy, but when I got these on, it's like having an outboard motor. She says, "You cheating."
I said, no, I'm not cheating. Isn't the purpose, aren't we trying to just exercise a little bit and get to the other side? Ain't that what we're really trying to accomplish, to get to the other side as easy as possible? That's all we're trying to do. Matter of fact, we get to the other side, then we turn around and come back. But it ain't got to be as hard as some people make it out to be. I'm trying to wait for y'all to catch this thing. Don't you know that what God did through Jesus Christ, what Jesus did by dying on Calvary, God raised him from the dead, he equips us through the power of the Holy Spirit. All the Holy Ghost is, the Holy Ghost is power to help us accomplish tough tasks. It's the power to help us get to the other side. Because sometimes he ain't going to take you out of the water. But he will give you what you need to get to the other side. It's in the Torah. It's the responsibility of the father to make sure the children can handle turbulent water. I don't know when, but I do know this, when it does come, God has provided everything we need. Because the good God we serve, he will give you a covering. He will bring you clarity. And he'll give you courage to handle a tough task.